Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. Let me first thank our sponsors for the Zimcast, and that includes Novus International, a leader in animal health and nutrition for the poultry, beef, aqua, dairy, and pork markets, and also Leica Geosystems, Mojo RTK, when it has to be right. So we thank our sponsors once again and really appreciate their support. This week, Cindy and I will be heading west, going out to Anaheim, California for the annual Commodity Classic. So there's going to be a lot of coverage on AgWired as well as other Zimcom news blogs. That will probably, for the most part, start on Wednesday afternoon when we attend an annual event held by BASF, which is one of our sponsors for our coverage of Commodity Classic. Other sponsors include New Holland and on Precision Pays, in particular, John Deere. So we really appreciate the support of our sponsors at all levels and in all ways. In this week's program, we're going to meet David Martosko. He is the guy behind HumaneWatch.org. And I highly recommend that you go there and visit and realize that he has put together an incredible online resource of information because, as the tagline says, keeping a watchful eye on the Humane Society of the United States. And boy, that is what he has done and is doing. And so I wanted to learn a little bit more about it. Maybe you've heard Dave speak before. It was my first chance to have a conversation with him. And he really, I think you'll hear the passion in his voice when it comes to this issue. And like most of us and everybody I personally know in agriculture, we do care about animals, and you know, unlike what others might want you to believe. And some of those others includes the HSUS. So let's go right now to my interview with Dave. I'm speaking here with David Martosko, and we are going to focus a little bit on his project called HumaneWatch.org. But first of all, David, it's great to be able to talk to you finally after following you for a while now with some of your efforts on this whole issue of what's going on in the animal rights area, and specifically looking at an organization called the Humane Society of the United States. So I think for people who don't know you, it might be good, first of all, just to tell us a little bit about your background and how you got involved in this.
Well, I work for the Center for Consumer Freedom in Washington, D.C., and that's a food issues nonprofit that covers really the politics of what's on Americans' plates. And our position is something of a libertarian one, that, you know, you should be able to choose whatever you want to eat and feed your family without interference from anybody. As long as you're not hurting anybody, you should be able to do what you like. And that includes being a vegetarian, by the way. You want to be a vegan, that's a fine choice, but it's your choice, and nobody should be able to make it for you. So we resent the idea that animal rights activists can march into our children's schools and commandeer TV broadcasts and hassle people with their sense of moral superiority and try to henpeck us all into making choices that they approve of. You know, your right to be a vegetarian ends where my strip steak begins, I guess. So that's really our point of contact into the animal rights industry. And so we've noticed over the years, recent years, that the Humane Society of the U.S. has really replaced PETA, the better known PETA, as the most powerful voice in the animal rights industry. You know, they spend upwards of $100 million a year. That's well over three times what PETA spends. And they just have an enormous amount of political muscle and a hugely undeserved public reputation. So in short, we thought it was time that we start telling the public the truth about what this organization is and what it isn't. And the result is a website called HumaneWatch.org.
Well, that is what I do want us to talk about, because you are really putting together an incredible library of information here that anybody who's interested in this issue, in this organization, ought to be checking out, and we'll certainly point them there. What are some of the, I know you've just got this going, it's relatively new, but tell us a little bit about what people are going to find there and the kind of information and feedback you've been getting already.
Well, Humane Watch is essentially a blog, but it's built around a growing document library. we're essentially opening up our files and sharing our filing cabinets full of documents about the animal rights movement, sharing them with the public and with broadcasters and journalists and legislators and regulators and anybody who's interested. So you're going to find a growing collection of documents, tax returns, internal correspondence, magazine articles, emails, fundraising letters, things that HSUS or its personnel have written. And then we comment about them. We tell you, here's what makes this document interesting. I'm looking at a document right now that we're going to blog probably in early next week or maybe even later today. It's an essay written by Wayne Pacelli in 1988. And Pacelli is now the president of the Humane Society of the U.S. What's interesting about this document is that, Pacelli claims that, he's not against all sport hunting. He's only against, the most egregious forms of cruelty, as he puts it. But here he is back in 1988 saying that he is against all sport hunting, and even saying it's a, in his words, a rare instance of justice when a hunter gets hurt by an animal. He seems to be cheering the animal kingdom along if it hurts a hunter. These are the kinds of things that today he will deny to his last breath ever having said. But the interesting thing about this is it's there in black and white. So we've got lots of instances like this of this movement trying to whitewash its past and the people at HSUS trying to distract people from their actual agenda. If I got up on a soapbox and shouted at the top of my lungs that the Humane Society of the U.S. is basically, PETA with a nicer wristwatch and no naked interns, you would be absolutely correct in being skeptical, because that's a heck of a thing to say. But when you have proof, it becomes a very mainstream thing to say. Mm-hmm. So I think what makes this website really unusual is that we're mixing opinion journalism with investigative journalism, and we're showing you our work. It's like the old math problem in fifth grade where you get the answer right, but the teacher says, show me your work. We're showing you our work. We're showing you how we connect the dots and how we form our opinions. And what you do with it's up to you, but it seems to be a very, very popular outlet so far.
Well, I certainly would agree. And, I don't think you can be more transparent about what you're doing, and I think that's a key here. Unfortunately, I don't believe this organization can say the same. I had the opportunity to meet Mr. Pacelli at a farm broadcasters meeting in Washington, D.C. last year, and when I do this post on AgWired on Monday as my Zimcast, I will link back to the presentation where I recorded him addressing a group, really essentially the ag community, and it was a very arrogant presentation. On the one hand, starting out with, can't we just find some common cause, to essentially saying, we're going to do what we're going to do regardless of what you think, care, or anything else. So kind of either join with us or else.
Here's what I don't get. Why on earth the farm broadcasters would invite a man like Wayne Pacelli to lecture to them? This would be like if the Democratic National Committee invited Rush Limbaugh to keynote a luncheon. Everybody in the room would understand that Limbaugh isn't interested in making the Democratic National Committee more efficient, more effective, or smarter. He wants to destroy it. He wants to put it in the ground. That's what Wayne Pacelli wants to do to farmers who are engaged in livestock agriculture. He doesn't want to make you better farmers. He doesn't even want necessarily to improve the lives of animals. He wants to end your careers. This is a guy who does not deserve a seat at the table, because his fondest wish is that somebody reduces the table to toothpicks.
Yes.
Why anybody would invite him to hold court over you is beyond me. I think the people who made that decision need their heads examined.
Well, I don't disagree with you. When I learned that was part of the program, that was my first question of leadership, is why in the world would you even give this guy this forum? And, part of the response was, it's good to know your enemy, that kind of thing. But I got to tell you, if you know what the message is, we certainly could have had a more especially entertaining, if not interesting, speaker, because really it was just hard to sit there and listen to, I'll be honest with you.
I remember thinking at the time that it was something like asking Ahmadinejad to lecture the United Nations. It's a heck of a media spectacle, but at the end of the day, you don't really learn anything new about the guy. All it does is get your blood pressure going.
Exactly. Well, looking ahead a little bit here, if you might, what kind of look out maybe short term, a year from now, where do you think this is going? Where do you want it to go? What do you hope for?
I hope that, for one thing, that the Humane Society of the United States has a much more difficult time convincing people to sign on to its ballot initiatives. You know, it's going full force in Ohio and Missouri this year, and it's trying to run the tables like it has in previous elections. And I hope this has some sort of impact and makes people wake up and say, wait a minute, before I sign that ballot petition, before I pull the lever for this, you know, who are these people and what is it that they want? So I hope it has an impact there. And I also hope that it has an impact in notifying Americans who give money to the Humane Society of the United States about what that money supports and what it doesn't support. You know, look, I'm very much a libertarian, and if you really believe that we all should be vegans and the circus shouldn't have elephants and biomedical researchers shouldn't be able to use lab rats to cure cancer, if that's what you believe in, go for it. You know, give them all your money because that's what they want. But I think what's going on in the grander scheme of fundraising here is HSUS is putting up these weepy ads and pictures of cats and dogs and suggesting that your money is going to help animal shelters, when in fact, you know, their own tax records show that in 2008, they devoted less than 0.5% of their budget to giving grants to pet shelters. Mm-hmm. Now, it's the deception, it's the duplicity that drives me nuts, because I think if they were honest about their agenda, a lot fewer people would support them. I think helping animals is a wonderful thing. I'm an animal lover, but I believe people ought to make those kinds of donations locally where they can actually see their money at work and not give them to a deceptive national animal rights group. So I think I'd like to say, you know, when we look back on this some years hence, that part of the impact we had was in raising awareness among the general American public about what HSUS is and what it isn't, just by telling the truth, not by making stuff up. Because believe me, if I make stuff up, you know, their lawyers are going to call me. Heck, if they don't like the way I word something, they call me. They got 30 lawyers on staff over there. So I can't afford to make stuff up. But I think just by telling the truth to the American public, HSUS's stock goes down. And so a little sunshine is a great disinfectant, and that's part of what we're trying to do.
Well, you mentioned Missouri. That's where I live. And here they're essentially trying to sneak in through a back door as we look at it, from an ag standpoint, by making their initiative here, unlike California or Ohio. This is targeting really more pet breeders, specifically dog breeders.
Oh, for now.
You know, exactly. And it's
for now. At its basis, what this so-called puppy mill breeder law would do is set a legal precedent where the government can tell somebody how many animals they can own.
Right. Right.
And that's for commercial use. That's on, you know, look, I think the government has the right to tell you can't keep 300 cats in your house because that's a public health hazard. But if you're a legitimate agriculture producer or if you're a legitimate dog breeder, I don't think the government should tell you how big your business can be. Just like if you're a sheet metal factory, I don't think the government should be able to tell you how big a plant to build or how many people to hire. But this is what the precedent would do. It would say, look, if you're a dog breeder, you can't own any more than this number of animals. And it's a very small lateral step this way or that way for them to say, oh, and as long as we've established that precedent, now if you're a pork farmer, you're not allowed to own more than 500 sows. Or if you're a cattleman, you can't have more than 800 head of cattle. Or if you're a dairyman, you can't milk more than 400 cows in a day. That's not a big stretch once they do it to the dog breeders. And they're going where they feel there's a soft target. And that's where they're going to establish their precedent. But believe me, they're coming for agriculture. They're coming for food agriculture next.
Yes, and it's, you know, you mentioned the tactics. Emotionalism is a tough one to deal with when you use a furry cat that, you know, I think Wayne's picture has been on their website, him holding this
furry
cat, for example, you know.
To my information, he doesn't have a pet, by the way.
If you look at the comments we get on posts on our blog or through Twitter, and frankly, we've had some, as I'm sure you, hate email, etc. People are so emotionally tied into this thing that they just sometimes can't see the facts, or maybe refuse to see them. It's unfortunate.
You know what's funny? One of the very first documents we put up on humanewatch.org is a copy of the Humane Society of the U.S.'s Articles of Incorporation, their actual founding documents, that lay out pretty cleanly what the organization may and may not do. And they've never been, to my knowledge, they haven't been amended in any significant way to change any of these details. One of the things that the document says is, and I'm paraphrasing here, but it says, the organization shall not or may not engage in propaganda campaigns. which is a pretty funny thing to say.
Yeah.
Considering that the dictionary definition of propaganda campaign, you know, is one that uses emotion to sway an argument in your favor and disregards inconvenient facts. That's pretty much Wayne Pacelle's job description.
Yeah.
But his own founding documents say that he's prohibited from doing that. The founding documents also say that they're prohibited from running a private school, and yet they have Humane Society University that's granting degrees right now. Their own founding documents say that they may not influence legislation. But what the heck are all these ballot amendments? I mean,
exactly.
This is a powerful document, and you can only see it at humanewatch.org. I want to get that document in the hands of every lawmaker in the country and somebody on staff so that when HSUS comes knocking, they show them their own founding documents and say, I can't talk to you because your charter, your corporate charter, prohibits you from influencing legislation. That would be so powerful, and it would be the right thing to do because we're just keeping them honest.
Well, I think they have come upon a sleeping giant in ag, as you see how many people in the ag business, whether they're farmers or work for agribusiness, are now using social media mechanisms to communicate. And we've seen recently with the Yellowtail Wine situation with their donation, and now Pilot Travel Centers, and you know, golly knows what else might show up on the radar here.
I'd like to think we had some small part in sparking some of that. I mean, the Yellowtail thing kind of happened. It was just lightning in a bottle. But after that, we posted a list on humanewatch.org of all of HSUS's corporate supporters. And we said, here are their names, here are their web pages, and here's a link to their Facebook pages. Do with this what you'd like. And all of a sudden, somebody decided that Pilot should be the next one on the list, and now they're getting a lot of angry emails and phone calls from people who produce food. And the truckers are taking that food on the road and fueling up at a Pilot station, and they don't like that.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a great thing. I think that's wonderful. It's because it's just telling the truth. It's saying, look, you're a company that's making money off of us, but you're working against our purposes. Stop it, please.
Yeah. Well, let's. Anything else, David, that you would like to convey to our audience and listeners about what you're doing? I mean, besides, obviously, we're going to point them there, but anything you might suggest or ask them for?
Sure, absolutely. This is not so much a request as it is a summons. Okay, anybody within the sound of my voice, if you have a document in your possession that came from the Humane Society of the United States, if they've ever sent you a letter demanding that you do something, if they've ever sent you a letter insisting that you meet with them, I would like to see it, please. I'd be happy to black out your name and any identifying information. And you can send it to me. Go to humanewatch.org. There's a post office box you can mail it to me. There's an email address you can send it to me. And if you want to communicate with me anonymously, there's even something called an anonymous Dropbox where you can send electronic files to me, whether it's a PDF, a Microsoft Word file, a copy of an email, whatever it is, and I won't even know who you are. So you can communicate with me, and I want to see the evidence. And I think it's sitting around scattered all over the country in people's basements and filing cabinets. So would you please, for me, think about this, and if you have any documents that you think the public's interest would be served in exposing to the public, send them to me, and I'll do the rest.
All right. Well, a good example is you just posted the X-Files, you called it. I thought it was a great great way to describe it, where somebody did just what you said using your anonymous Dropbox.
This is 240-some pages of research. I don't know who did it. I haven't a clue who wrote it. I don't know where it came from. But all I know is I'm told that it was written in 1996, and it's an exhaustive review of what HSUS was doing at the time. Fascinating historical document that, to my knowledge, has never, ever seen the light of day before, but now anybody can read it. Mm-hmm. God, I love the Internet.
It is. It's wonderful. Well, David, I want to thank you very much for taking time to talk with me here as part of the Zimcast, and we're certainly going to keep following you and pointing people your way and doing what we can to because, frankly, as you said, for those of us who are making our living based off of agriculture, including animal agriculture, this is actually pretty critical to our business. You know, not thinking that we ever would have a completely vegan society here, but some of these laws and ridiculous initiatives that have actually made it pass, like in California, they've had real significant dire economic consequences to our business.
Absolutely. I mean, there are egg farmers in California who are scouting land in Mexico right now.
Exactly.
And that's not good for America. But, I, you know, in general, I would just say this. Nobody likes real animal abuse. If you're not treating your animals well, please get out of the business because you're making everybody else look bad. But for the rest of you, stand up on your own 2 feet and be proud of what you do. And don't be afraid to push back when the schoolyard bully tries to knock you down, because there are more of you than there are of them. And I'm just, at HumaneWatch.org, I'm just giving you some information so that you can feel confident about standing up and saying that there's nothing wrong with what you do. In fact, it's wonderful. And anybody who says otherwise is spoiling for a fight, and I'm always going to have your back.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Dave Martusko with HumaneWatch.org. Well, I want to thank David for taking the time to speak with me about what he's doing with HumaneWatch.org. And again, highly encourage you to go there if you have not done so already. Well, I'm going to leave you with some music this week from Music Alley. Since we're talking about animals, this is a song called Dogs and Cats by Colley Bryce. I hope you enjoy it, and thank you for listening.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Colley Bryce. We are the Bayberry Blues Band. Don't make me a clown. I just need some TLC. Come on, pretty baby, and give it to me. A dog's a dog and a cat's a cat. I got the blues and I can't change that, no. Now, how many agree with my theory that men are like dogs and women are like cats? Think about it. Now, next time you sit down to dinner, I want you to take a look at the way a man eats. And then I want to have you take a look at your kitten over there licking her saucer of milk. Is a man a dog? Is a woman a cat? I think so. And we wonder why we can't get along. Well, now we know. Dog's a dog and a cat's a cat. I got the blues and I can't change that. Does anybody else here like chasing tails? Cause cats got them. Come here, pussy. Here, kitty, kitty. I got a bone for you. Yes, thank you. We're here every Tuesday. Hope you enjoyed the video submission.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwire.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.